The scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Hosea, chapter 14. Hosea 14. It's on page 963 in your Bibles. Hosea 14. Listen to the word of God. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take with you words and return to the Lord and say to him, take away all iniquity, accept what is good, and we will pay with bulls the vows of our lips. Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses, and we will say no more our God to the work of our hands. In you, the orphan, the fatherless find mercy. I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall blossom like the lily. He shall take root like the trees of Lebanon. His shoots shall spread out. His beauty shall be like the olive, and his fragrance like Lebanon. They shall return and dwell beneath my shadow. They shall flourish like the grain. They shall blossom like the vine. Their fame shall be like the wine of Lebanon. O Ephraim, what have I to do with idols? It is I who answer and look after you. I am like an evergreen cypress. From me comes your fruit. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the upright walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. So far the reading of the Word of God. Before we open this truth of God, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we look at this wonderful chapter, which deals with drawing near to God, we pray, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit may direct us, strengthen us, keep us in the hollow of Your hand, O Lord. Alleviate any pain or discomfort. Strengthen us in Your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear brothers and sisters, friends in Jesus Christ our Lord, the theme of this chapter is drawing near to God. That's a wonderful subject, drawing near to God. We sing about it. Nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer, still nearer. And that beautiful setting of Psalm 73, in sweet communion, Lord, with Thee I constantly abide. My hand Thou holdest in Thine own to keep me near Thy side. To be near God is good. It is the best thing. In Psalm 73, at the end of that beautiful psalm, the psalmist says, Psalm 73, it is good for me to draw near to God. That's a marvelous statement. And that is an absolutely true statement. It is good for me, it is good for you to be near God. We have to be near Him. God is near us. You know, there's that bumper sticker that says, if you feel far from God, who moved? It's we who moved. It's not God who moved. We have to be near God. Now, how can we be near God? This chapter tells us how. It tells us, first of all, how to be near God. Then it tells us how God answers that prayer to be near Him. And then it tells us the results of being near God. So first, how do we draw near to God? Well, this chapter 14 of Hosea, it's the last chapter of this book of the minor prophets. Hosea prophesied at about the same time as Isaiah did. Hosea prophesied to the northern kingdom, to Israel. They had rebelled against God. They had gone the wrong way. They had worshipped other idols. It was a terrible thing. And so God calls Hosea to be the prophet to the northern tribes, to Israel. And Hosea was given a strange command. Very strange. Quite unusual. It's the only one, only command like it that you find, I think, in the Bible. It's the only one. But Hosea got this command. And this is what it says. Go take for yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom, for the land commits great whoredom by forsaking God. So Hosea went and got a wife from whoredom. Now, that's a prostitute. To get a wife from among the prostitutes. And where were the prostitutes in Israel's day? They were operating around the temple of Baal. Because Baal was considered to be the god of fertility. And if there was to be good crops and good birthing of children and calves and lambs, it was all considered to be a blessing from Baal. And so in order to stimulate Baal, they would have prostitutes around the temple. I mean, it's horrible. It's just so degrading. And so God says to Hosea the prophet, go get a wife from among the prostitutes and have children with her. So he did. He went and got a wife by the name of Gomer. And she conceived and bore a son, then she bore a daughter, and then she bore another son. And the names of those children were terrible. You would never name a child like that. The name of the first child was Jezreel, for in just a little while I will punish the house of Jehu for the blood of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. So that was the first name. Then she conceived again and bore a daughter, and the Lord said to her, call her name No Mercy. Would you ever dream of calling your child No Mercy? For I will no longer have mercy on the house of Israel to forgive them at all. But I will have mercy on the house of Judah, and I will save them by the Lord their God. When No Mercy was weaned, she conceived and bore a son. And the Lord said, call his name Not My People. Can you imagine? Can you imagine having a child and say, your name is No Mercy? And the next child say, your name is Not My People. For you are not my people and I am not your God. I'm reading from chapter 1 of Hosea. I mean, that's a horrible situation in Israel's day. They are departing from the Lord. They're going their own way. And Hosea the prophet is a picture of God. And he is going after Israel, who is a picture of Gomer. The relationship between God and his people has always been, early on, it's been pictured as marriage. You recall how Paul says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And so spiritually leaving God or going after idols was called spiritual adultery. And so in order to dramatize this, Hosea has to go and get a wife from whoredom and have children with her. I mean, it was a bad deal. But that's just how bad things were in that day. Now we come to the last chapter of Hosea. And Hosea is told to tell Israel, return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Return, O Israel. You know why God says that? Because God has mercy. He has mercy and he's tender-hearted and he is full of compassion to those who love him. The Lord has made a covenant with his people and he will never forsake his own. God is good. He is the overflowing fountain of all good. And so the end of the book, he says, here's how you can get back to me. Here's how you can draw near to God. How are they to do it? Take with you words and return to the Lord and say to him, take away our iniquity. Accept what is good. We will pay with bulls the vows of our lips. Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses, and we will say no more our God to the work of our hands. For in you the fatherless find mercy. You see, God is merciful, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness. That's who he is. That's the God we serve. And so he comes to Israel and he says, here's how you get back. Here's how you get back to me, O Israel. And that word comes to us too today. Here's how we get near to God. We first got to repent of our sins. The way of the transgressor is hard, says Proverbs. The way of the transgressor is hard. And the only way to get rid of all that and come back to God is by repentance. Return, O Israel. Return, O children of the covenant. Return to God. Call upon him. You recall how Isaiah says this in Isaiah 55. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You remember how David had to go through that? He had committed that terrible sin of adultery with Bathsheba. And then when he found out that she was with child, he tried to cover it. He tried to cover it. Proverbs says in Proverbs 28:13, whoso seeks to cover his transgression will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes it shall find mercy. David found out that that is true. He thought he got away with it. He brought Uriah home from the military and he said, good, have a nice R&R with your wife. But Uriah was an honorable man. And he said, I'm not going to stay in a nice warm bed with my wife and my colleagues and my fellow soldiers are all out there in the field. So he slept outside. The first night. Second night, David got him drunk. And again, he slept outside. And David said, okay, so you're not going to play the game with me. All right, so he writes a note, gives it to General Joab, and he says, put this man in the front line so that he will die and not live. And so Joab, the general, puts Uriah in the front lines, and he dies. He's killed in battle. And Job sent the message to David, mission accomplished. Your man is dead. So David goes to Bathsheba and says, oh, I want to express my sympathy to you. Your husband was a great patriot. He gave his life for his nation. We're going to have a time of mourning for him. I'm going to give you a flag. We're going to have an honorable burial. We're going to honor your husband. What a great man he was. And so he expresses great sympathy to Bathsheba, and then he goes and marries the widow. And David thinks he's done it. He's cleared himself. He got away with it. And then one day Nathan came over to his house, Nathan the prophet. And Nathan told him a story. A story of how a rich man who had all kinds of flocks and herds had company that came to his house. And so the rich man, in not getting one of his own sheep to dress for that dinner, he goes to his neighbor, who's a poor man, who has a little lamb that is treated like a child, and the rich man takes that little lamb of the poor man and he dresses it and feeds his guest. And David said, that man's got to pay for it. He's got to pay four times more than what he did, what he took. That's wicked. And Nathan lowered that 15-inch cannon at the heart of David and said, thou art the man. God gave you everything that you could possibly want, and yet you took the wife of one of your soldiers. And then you had him murdered. And David melted. David said, oh Lord, have mercy upon me. I have sinned grievously in thy sight. Against thee, thee only, have I done this. Purify me, O Lord, and make me clean. Create in me a clean heart. O Lord, do not deal with me according to what I've done. That's all in Psalm 51. In Psalm 32, he describes what he went through during that time that he thought he got away with it. He said, I kept silence and my bones wasted away within me. It was his conscience that was just driving him down to his knees until he came to confess. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, Lord, forgive the iniquity of my sin. Now Hosea is saying this is the only way to come near to God. You have first got to admit you're wrong. The way of the transgressor is hard. You will not get away with it. The Lord calls you to get on your knees and confess that you have sinned against the holiness of God. We all have. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The only way for us to be near God is to confess our sins to Him. That's not only true individually, it's true corporately, it's true as a nation. The country of France was shaken to its roots by what happened this past Friday. There hadn't been that kind of terrible things that happened since World War II in France and Paris. It's shaken. It's God that's shaking the world by all these things that are happening. My daughter was in Beirut, Lebanon this past week. She was on the one of the higher floors of the hotel, and she heard the blasting and the terror that was taking place in Beirut earlier this week. She heard it. They had a ride through the Hezbollah area, and they saw the devastation. And then she flew from Beirut to Paris. She's on her way to Detroit right now. I mean, the world is reeling from the terror that is happening. It is God who is calling us to repent. You read all about this in the book of Revelation. The bowls of wrath which God pours out upon the rebellious people, who turn away from God, who forget the Lord. Jeremiah said, my people have committed two errors, two sins. They have rejected me, the fountain of living water, and hewn out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. France was the place where John Calvin lived. He wrote his books in French and Latin. He was involved with the culture of France. I mean, they had a great beginning. But these things are God's way of calling us back to repent. It's the same thing that Hosea is saying to the children of Israel. Repent. You have stumbled because of your iniquity. In you the fatherless find mercy. Now how does the Lord answer that? The Lord answers that prayer of confession of sin. He answers it with three beautiful I wills right here. Verse 4, verse 5. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. And then the result, he shall blossom like the lily. He shall take roots like the trees of Lebanon. His shoots shall spread out. His beauty shall be like the olive tree. And his fragrance like Lebanon. Okay, so look and notice how God answers that prayer. Those people came with repentance, and God answers them. I will heal their apostasy. I will heal their backsliding. You know why? Because God is merciful, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness. He does not deal with us according to our sins. David writes that in Psalm 103. He does not deal with us according to our sins. He does deal with them, but not with us. It is His only begotten Son. You remember how Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Him who knew no sin, that's Jesus Christ. Him who knew no sin, He was spotless, clean, had never, He's like us in all things, no sin. Him who knew no sin, God made Him to be sin on our account, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. That's how God heals our backsliding. He lays our sin on Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Do you believe that He laid your sin on Him? Remember how John the Baptist introduces Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Jesus Christ is our great sin bearer. All we like sheep have gone astray, Isaiah says. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's the picture of mankind. But the Lord our God laid our sin upon Jesus Christ. And He punished Him for us. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was chastised for our peace. By His stripes we are healed. That's how God heals our backsliding. He laid it all on Jesus Christ. And we have to believe on Him. We have to trust in Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, it doesn't matter how far we've fallen, whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, what a gospel, what a glorious gospel. You remember how we sang that great song, "There is a green hill far away without a city wall, where our dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. We may not know, we cannot tell, what pains He had to bear, but we believe it was for us. He hung and suffered there. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by His precious blood. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Oh, dearly, dearly, as He loved, and we must love him too and trust in his redeeming blood and strive his works to do. That's how God loves us freely. He loves us freely. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. His anger is turned away from us, and he comforts us. And then he says, I will be like the dew to Israel. I explained to the children what dew is. You know what dew is. It's the condensation of water. Israel was a parched land. It still is today. And there's a big difference between day and night temperature. It doesn't rain from April through October in Israel, in Palestine. It doesn't rain. But how does the vegetation get its moisture? It gets it from the dew. You remember the story of Gideon, how Gideon laid the fleece out at night and it was wet with dew. The Lord is dew. He's dew for us. He's water for us. He is the source of life for us. Without water, there's barrenness. I'll tell you, California would be desert if it weren't for the water from the mountain snowpack that comes down the mountain when the snow melts and it's saved and used to irrigate the land. The huge San Joaquin Valley stretching from southern to northern California, 350 miles long, 120 miles wide, the San Joaquin Valley would be just a desert if it weren't for the irrigation of water. But now it's a breadbasket. It's a marvel. Fruits, vegetables grow in abundance there. But it's all water from the mountains. It seldom rains. Now, what God says here is, I will stop your iniquity. I will stop your backsliding. I will love you freely, and I will be dew to Israel. I will be the source of your strength. I will be the source of your life. And what will be the result for Israel? What will be the result for you and me? Three things. You will be like a lily. Number two, you will be like a cedar of Lebanon. Number three, you will be like an olive tree. First, you will be like a lily. You like lilies? I love lilies. Lilies are the flower around Easter. It's just wonderful to have lilies. I try to get my wife a lily around that time of the year and put it in the kitchen area, and it just fills the whole room with that wonderful fragrance of a lily. It's a marvelous fragrance. The beauty of the lily is white. It looks like purity and beauty and fragrance. And the Lord says here in this verse, I'm going to make you like a lily. You're going to be a blessing to your community. You will be fragrant. You will be holy and beautiful to the people that see you. You're going to be a blessing to all those around you. That's quite a difference, isn't it? From the harlot and the prostitute that Israel was pictured as at the beginning of the book. Now, having been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, they are made into a lily. Quite different. A real transformation. You know what you call that? You call that conversion. It's really a conversion. We become a new person. We have a great responsibility to the whole community where we live. We have a responsibility to the state in which we live. You know what God said to the children of Israel who were in the land of Babylon in captivity? Jeremiah 9, he says, pray for the city, because when they are prospered, you too will be prospered. When the righteous flourish, the city rejoices. We have a responsibility to the whole community. We have a responsibility to the world in which we live. The Lord says, I will make you like a lily. Beautiful, fragrant, a blessing. Wonderful to be around. You like to be around a lily. It's beautiful. The second thing is, I will make you like a cedar of Lebanon. You know what the cedars were? They were the trees that grew on the mountains of Lebanon, and their roots were deep into the ground because they had to withstand the winds that came off the Sea of Babylon, the Mediterranean Sea. They had to withstand those winds, and so the roots had to be deep. The Lord said, I will not only make you beautiful like a lily, I will make you strong like a cedar. You are to be strong instead of weak like water, instead of weak doctrinally, like listening to every wind of doctrine that comes around. This is weak as water, like the waves of the sea, up one time and down another. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm going to make you like a cedar of Lebanon, strong, personally strong. Personally strong. How can you be personally strong? Well, Paul lays it out. He says, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the whole armor of God that you can withstand all the terrors and fiery darts of the evil one. You got to be strong like a cedar of Lebanon. Moms and dads, you got to be strong. Grandpas and grandmas, you got to be strong. Morally strong. With convictions, not convictions like jelly, but convictions like a rock, like a cedar of Lebanon, that's strong, steadfast, stable, dependable, honest, truthful, living before the Lord in integrity and honesty. That's what we are to be. Young people, you are in school or you're in sports and activities, be strong. We're living in a day in which there's all kinds of temptations, all kinds of things that happen and would draw you in. You've got to be strong. You've got to be like a cedar of Lebanon with your roots deep in the Word of God. Drawing from that word the strength of character. The strength to say no. It takes strength to say no. It's not easy. The easy way is to go along with the crowd. Be strong like a Daniel who refused to be drawn in by the paganism of Babylon. Be strong like a Joseph who said no to Potiphar's wife. I cannot do this thing and sin against my God. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And the third picture is, the Lord says, I will make you like a lily. I will make you like the cedar of Lebanon. And I will make you fruitful like an olive tree. Now, and olives, they grew in abundance in Israel. And the olive, it's a fruit. It's not actually my favorite, although I do like olives in Italian salad, for example. They're good. But olives are not like my favorite fruit. I like apples and pears and peaches and plums and grapes a whole lot better than olives. But in Israel's day, olives were a food. But olives are also used for olive oil. And that oil was very important. You know what James says? If you're sick, call the elders of the church, pray over them, and anoint you with oil. That's olive oil. Olive oil is good for healing. It's good for taking care of wounds, taking care of bruises. Oil is good. Actually, Vaseline is made of oil, some kind. A lot of salves are made of oil. That's an ingredient. It's good for healing. The Lord says, you know, I'm not only going to make you beautiful like a lily and make you strong like a cedar, I'm going to make you healing like an olive, like the olive oil. And do you know what else the olive oil was a picture of? It was the picture of the Holy Spirit. Because olive oil was used as a fuel for candles. It is a source of energy. The Holy Spirit is pictured as oil. The prophets, priests, and kings were anointed with oil. That is, they were anointed with the Holy Spirit. That's what you and I are. We're to be like oil in the community. Do you know what the fruit of the Spirit is? Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, meekness, kindness, goodness, patience, self-control. That's what we have to be. We have to have the fruit of the Spirit. That's going to make us strong. It's going to make us beautiful. It's going to make us reflect the Lord Jesus Christ, that Christ may be seen in us. And that's a wonderful thing. You see, what a change has taken place in this book of Hosea. At the beginning of the book, Israel was pictured like a harlot. Now, they are pictured quite different. What's the difference? What made the difference? What made the difference is the blood of Jesus. Not yet shed in the days of Hosea, but prophesied coming. In Hosea, it says, out of Egypt I will call my son. The book of Hosea is a book about God and about His love to His people. And that love to His people is shown most gloriously in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He is the one who will make us beautiful. He's the one that will make us strong. And He is the one that will make us fruitful. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So the call to every one of us, everyone here and in the whole community, is that Jesus is the answer. He's the answer. Oh Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever with me, my master and my friend. And everyone said, amen. Oh Lord, bless this word unto our hearts this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the glorious gospel, for Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh Heavenly Father, make us beautiful, sweet, and fragrant like a lily, strong and stable and unafraid like the cedar. Make us fruitful like the olive tree. You are the dew. You are the source. You are the strength that gives us all that in Jesus Christ. He is the one. And we love you, Lord. work in our hearts with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.